Welcome to Living Villa Capelli, where we learn life is so much sweeter when you add a little Italian to it. And now your hosts, Paul Capelli and Stephen Crutchfield.
Hi, I'm Paul.
And I'm Stephen. And thank you for joining us today for Living Villa Capelli, our second podcast.
And we are actually speaking to you from Villa Capelli in Puglia, Italy, near the capital city of Bari. Our town is called Terlizzi, where my mommy is from. And we have a house here in Puglia. And we do a lot of fun stuff here. And one of the things that we do and make and sell in the United States is olive oil, extra virgin olive oil.
And we'll be talking a lot about this, I'm sure, on many podcasts because it's something we're very passionate about, obviously, because we make and sell it.
Yeah. And yes, I do smoke, so too bad. One of the things that we now find kind of funny when people ask us is, how long does it take before the olive oil is ready? Which I guess people think it's made kind of like wine or alcohol or something like that. Olive oil is ready pretty much immediately. So we thought what we would do is take you kind of through the process without making it boring or belaboring any point. Right, Stephen?
Exactly.
So first of all, our olive oil is made from a certain type of olives called coratina. Which simply means that the original, what is it, genus, species?
Species, probably.
No, I think genus. Yeah. Comes from a town close to us called Corato, which, by the way, is the town where the Balducci family is from. If any of you remember the Balducci's in New York City, really great gourmet shops. Actually, one of the other stores there, Agata and Valentina is part of that, and there was another one. Grace's Market. They're all from Corato. Anyway, so we use Coratina olives. The olive trees, everybody knows, can be very old. Most of the ones around our place are, 100, 150, maybe 200 years old. There are a few that are much
older. They're so young.
Yes, I know. they're a little younger than me, actually. Mm-hmm. There are quite a few that are much older than that around here. But if you go further down south, the trees, they're called millenari, thousand-year-old trees. They have centenary. I guess this is millenary, not to be confused with millinery, which I think makes hats or something. Our trees aren't as old as the ones down south, in the area around Lecce, but our oil is better. The oil around Lecce, we'll tell you later how that's made and why it's completely different than ours.
There is one tree on our bike trip that we passed by that's got to be easily 500 years old.
Yeah, probably more. I mean, it takes literally four people holding hands to wrap your arms.
I don't even know four people could do it. It's so huge.
Well, four people with short arms.
Maybe.
So how does it work? I remember asking my cousin up in Tuscany, outside of Pisa, when I first thought I could make olive oil after I bought the property, and I said to him, "So when do you pick olives?" Which most people don't know. Olives are basically a fall winter crop. So his answer was, "Never before All Saints Day." I was like, what the hell is All Saints Day? When is that? November 1st, I think it's All Saints Day or All Souls Day, one of those two. But supposedly, you're not supposed to pick them before November 1st. And you try to pick them when they're half ripe and half unripe. So they're sort of half green and half black. Because the reason for the ripeness thing is very, very, very fundamental to the whole idea of extra virgin olive oil. People also ask, what makes extra virgin olive oil extra virgin? And, everybody has bought into the things that you read on the labels and the things you hear on TV that has to be, first press, cold press, what else? Those are the two big ones, I guess, right?
Yeah.
None of those really define extra virgin. Yes, it should be. It has to be. It doesn't have to be. It should be first pressed, because I'll explain why. If it's not first pressed, it would never be extra virgin. And secondly, it doesn't really have to be cold pressed. The reason they talk about cold pressing is because the olive growers and the olive oil producers, especially the bottlers, the big ones, they've become kind of wise guys. They figured out that by heating up olive oil that is not extra virgin, they can turn it into extra virgin. But what happens is that the oil then kind of smells or tastes a little burnt because they've heated it up. So, and that can also happen when people try to press olives much more quickly and reduce the acidity level in the olives when they're actually doing it in hot presses, and they get more olives out of it. So what defines extra virgin olive oil? The acidity level. That's all it is.
You want the exact definition?
Yes, please.
This is from the Olive Oil Times, which is a very good resource. We recommend it highly for any of those looking for more information. Their exact words is it should have not more than 0.8 grams per 100 grams of free acidity.
Right, so it's 0.8% acidity. Yes.
And it also, in their definition, should be produced entirely by mechanical means, and it should be used without the use of any solvents.
Right. Nothing can be added to it.
Yes. And under temperatures that will not degrade the oil, which I think is where the cold press comes from.
Right. So it doesn't have to be really cold pressed. It just can't be hot pressed.
Exactly. And then the other descriptions, we'll get into this a little later, because we have... When people try our oil, sometimes people don't know what good oil should taste like. But there are also another three positive attributes that your extra virgin olive oil should have. Is it should be fruity, it should be bitter, and it should be pungent. And although the bitter and the pungent sounds weird to most people, but it's actually...
essential to, yes, exactly. Olive, to really good olive oil. Yes. Olive oil that's actually good for you. Extra virgin olive oil.
Yes.
Because what we've also just found out is... there's extra virgin olive oil. There is no such thing as virgin olive oil. So I don't know why it's extra virgin, but there's no such thing as virgin olive oil. But there is olive oil. Olive oil is not really what you think it is. I mean, it is extracted from a part of the olives. It's extracted from all the stuff that's left over after the olives have been ground up, and this dry... very, very dry pulp comes out. So what do you do with that dry pulp? You can either turn it into fertilizer, or you can have it turned into heating pellets, those stoves that run on pellets that come from Canada and all these other places. Well, they also use the remains of all the junk that you would throw away after you've pressed your olives to make extra virgin olive oil. The other thing that you can do with this... this excrement of the olives, is that by adding benzene to it, the benzene will extract what tiny amounts of olive oil are still left in that dry pulp. It's like sawdust. So they add benzene to it, then the oil rises to the top, and they skim the olive oil off that. And that is what is in your bottle of just plain old regular olive oil. You should really, really, really try as hard as you can to stay away from it. The people who are more honest will call it Sansa. That's what it's called in Italy because, it's the government won't let you get away with calling it olive oil, I guess. But so extra virgin olive oil really is the only way to go. So where were we with the picking?
Yeah, let's start and just describe.
Yeah, usually around the olive season lasts for usually from the middle of October. People who want to pick early because the thing with olives and olive oil is that the riper the olive, the sweeter the oil, the higher the acidity. So that's why olive oil should be pungent because the olives should be less ripe. So, for example, down in Lecce, where they make a lot of oil and they have these monumental millennial trees, they wait for the olives to fall off the tree. And they put nets down and the olives just fall to the ground onto the nets, and then they pick up the nets and they bring the olives to the mill. Now, just like any other fruit, when a fruit falls off the tree, it's like 3 seconds away from being rotten because it's overripe. Which is another interesting thing, because a lot of people think that olive oil is vegetable oil. It's not. Olive oil is a fruit oil. Olives are fruit, not vegetables. So between November and the end of January, people pick their olives. We bring them to, you know, we actually either shake them off the tree with these back-held motorized shakers.
Yeah.
And then we actually beat them off the trees with sticks.
Yeah, the motorized shaker almost looks like a weed whacker with a claw on the end of it.
Yeah.
A really tall, like long pole. And he puts the little clamp on the branch and he lets the motor go and the little motor shakes the branch.
We don't shake the trunks like they do with the big, you know, there are places that use those big mechanical trucks with this big scissor-like thing that takes the trunk and shakes the hell out of the tree. But we do shake the branches. And then you have to go around and beat the rest of the olives that didn't fall down from being shaken. You have to beat them off with a stick. And we do collect them on nets. Then you drag the nets over to your cart, and you throw the olives in the cart. When the cart is full, you take it to the mill.
Well, you simplified the whole process.
Well, I didn't make the oil yet.
No, but I will say, I mean, dragging, it's he simplified it in the sense of it's a very, maybe from my experience, because I'm coming from it from a new place, I've never done it, I had no idea what it was about. It is a very romantic setting and a very magical thing. I mean, you're like, it's, I don't know, you're not like pick, you're just kind of scraping off these olives. They gently fall in the net. I mean, you're dragging these nets, which get full of olives. You're dragging those from tree to tree through this ancient, you know, olive grove, winding, nothing straight. None of our trees were planted in a row. I don't know why they never planted them in rows back then, but they're not. You know, and eventually the net gets so full, you have to kind of then collect them into a big pile. And you'll actually see some of those pictures like that on our website. You get them in a big pile. From that big pile, you dump them into a bucket. And then from that bucket, you have to haul that onto your shoulder and then, you know, and walk over to the trailer or you dump it in.
So each bucket is like 40 pounds.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe 50.
And I mean, usually it's our Paul's cousin that helps us. He's probably a typical farmer, Puglia farmer, a bull of a guy. I mean, I've seen him.
He's a bull monkey, actually, because he's a bull because he can carry anything and lift anything, but he's also short and can scamper up any tree in about 3 seconds.
What they used to do when they would pick the olives back in the day,
they used to do it barefoot. Because, you know, most people's shoes back then didn't have the kind of soles that we have today. Most people's shoes back then, especially the poorer people, they were basically wooden soles to their shoes. So in order to not scrape the bark off the trees and to have more control with their feet, they would just climb the trees barefoot or in stockings.
And it's usually
in the middle of winter.
Exactly. I was going to say, usually this is, you're talking November, December, or January when you're harvesting, and it can be freaking cold.
So you're already starting to understand why olive oil seems to cost what it does.
Yes. And I will say, too, that, I mean, what I find interesting is, at least, you know, when we work with Paul's cousin, we still keep the hours of the siesta. Is that what they call it?
Well, no, siesta is Spanish, although everyone uses it here, too.
Yeah.
Down south here, it's called controra, against the hours.
So basically, we start at 5 in the morning when it's freaking bitterly cold and there might be frost on the ground. And then you end around noon. And it's just starting to get warm. And that's when you're like, okay, it's just starting to get warm. It's nice. Now we're done for the day.
Yeah, but by that time, we've already taken off our jackets and sweaters because you're sweating.
Yeah, you are sweating, but I'm just...
off.
Why don't we start at like 10 or 11 and then work the afternoon?
No, because you have to go home and have your pasta at 1 o'clock.
Exactly.
You have to eat at 1 o'clock in Italy.
It drives me crazy.
If you don't eat at 1 o'clock, there's something wrong with you.
Exactly.
Speaking of which, do you know how Italians say, I'll be home in 10 minutes? Steven, do you know?
Drop the pasta.
That's right. Butti la pasta. So they call their wife on the cell phone and say, honey, drop the pasta, which means I'll be home in 10 minutes. I think it's kind of cool.
It's very cool.
So we're back to the olives. We got all the olives in the cart. The cart is full. The carts that we use are rather small, so they fit usually no more than 90 kilos, right? No, 900. 900 kilos. So 2,000, a ton of olives at a time we drag to the mill.
That's 90 kilos sounds a lot smaller than 90 damn tons.
Well, but it's not 90.
No, I mean 90 tons at a time.
It's 900 kilos. So we take those to the mill. We leave them there. The next morning we go back. We do it all over again. We get another ton of olives. We bring those to the mill. And that afternoon, we're ready to mill the olives because you really should mill your olives no more than 48 hours after they've been picked because just like any other fruit or vegetable, they'll start to decompose if they're in a big pile and they'll heat up, they'll rot very quickly and they just get nasty. And that's how you get rancid oil. So we start to mill. They put them through these machines that carry sort of conveyor belts that carry the olives up into the mill. At the same time, they're cleaned up and the leaves are blown off and shaken off, so you don't get too many leaves and twigs in there. Because the whole thing about olive oil and being an olive farmer is that it all depends on yield. So you want to get the highest yield, meaning the highest percentage of olive oil to the weight of olives that you brought in.
Basically what happens too is the car pulls up to the olive mill, gets on a huge scale. Mm-hmm. So they weigh the car
and the little cart
with the olives, and then you pull ahead and you
dump your olives.
And then, that's when it goes into the machinery to blow off the leaves and kind of clean stuff up. But, all those leaves and twigs are part of your weight, unfortunately. It's kind of part of the deal. But then you put the car back on that scale and they weigh it again. And the difference is the weight of your olives.
Mm-hmm.
So you're always trying to also get as many of the twigs out of your bunch and your, any dirt clods or...
Yes, before you get weighed.
Yeah, because you want to get the best yield you can, obviously.
Right. And, the average yield down here is 15%, 17%. It can go as high as 21, 22%, which means, you get 20% of olive oil from the olives you brought in.
And I will say, too, the cool part when you're doing this and they've kind of gone through the sifter, it goes into a giant crate. And they, it's very, I don't know, to me it's very kind of charming and wholesome in the sense of like, it's...
You are so gay.
It's
all like romantic and
no,
charming.
It is. But, I mean, it's not industrial. It's good into a plastic car and you put Paul's name on it. Paul's.
Yeah.
And they know it's Paul's.
So sometimes they'll say Paul the American.
Yeah. So we know it's ours. And then, the next farmer, they put Giuseppe or whatever his name is.
Nicola. Everybody down here is Nicola.
But they all have, every farmer has his plot and his olives, and everybody knows that that's their olives, and they're very protective, and everybody, including us, you're there the whole step of the way.
Right, because you don't want anybody messing with your olives. Yeah. You don't want any funny business.
I guess that also comes with trusting the mill.
Right.
We trust the mill. They're like a second family. They're really nice guys. We really definitely love those guys. So
yeah. So what happens now, they go up in the conveyor belt and they get, through the conveyor belt, they get brought into the actual mill where the big machine is, the grinding machine. We still use a mill that uses stone wheels to crush the olives. A lot of places use just machines to crush them, regular mechanical industrial machines, but We prefer to have ours crushed slowly by these huge granite wheels that just turn and turn and turn and crush.
And everything gets crushed.
Yeah,
that
was one thing that none of us knew when we started doing this. You know, in your olive oil are also the pits. The pits get crushed, and the pits contain olive oil. So all that stuff gets crushed together. It makes this big pulp, which we thought maybe we can make tapenade.
It does look like tapenade.
Yeah, we're not too gay. maybe we can make tapenade, but you can't.
But by the way,
it's really nasty. You can't eat a raw olive.
You can't. It's the weirdest thing. I had no idea that. If you eat an olive, it's, I mean, bitter, off the scale bitter. I mean, it is disgusting.
It's worse than eating the worst unripened banana on the planet.
It is so bitter. It's disgusting. But yet, the process that you make the olive oil, all you're doing is crushing them, and then
it gets sweeter.
It gets sweet. It's like, how did that happen? Yeah. It's so odd.
So all the stuff gets crushed. It all becomes a big green pulp, and then that pulp goes into a separator, and it starts churning around and churning around. You have to wait like an hour. And you know, we do stay at the mill for the entire process, because again, yes, it takes forever. The entire process, we want to make sure that the olives that went into that machine is the oil that's coming out of that machine. So it goes into this big churner that kind of separates, and you see the oil start to rise. Then after about 45 minutes, they open up that part of the machine, and it goes into the centrifuge, which then is going to separate the oil from the water. So as that starts to happen, you eventually see oil start to come into this round vat that is under the centrifuge, and it starts to fill up with this liquid gold.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
And as soon as you walk into the mill, it's like the aroma, the fragrance of olive oil is just...
And actually, during...
You just want to eat during, the air.
Yeah, but during that season, actually, not just at the mill, the whole town, the whole area, it just smells like olive oil.
And it's so delicious. You'll see like 50 tractors lined up with all their goodies on the back, all their olives to bring into the mills. So the oil comes out, it goes into this smaller round vat with a spigot on it, and we put our containers under it. You open the spigot, you start to fill all your containers, and you take the containers home. You load them into the car, you take them home, and we put them into giant stainless steel, receptacles.
Cisterns.
And that's where they stay until we're ready to fill our bottles and cans. But the oil, the expression here is, old wine, new oil. So the newer the oil, usually the more flavorful and better tasting it is. You don't want oil to age too much.
No.
Ours, fortunately enough, because of the strength of our olive oil, Tuscany sells their olive oil for a lot more money than Puglia does.
And it sounds good.
Yeah, but Puglia, by the way, has 60 million olive trees. 60 million. The population of Italy is like 65 million. So it's roughly one tree for every person in Italy. So what they do is they bring olive oil from Puglia to all of the parts of Italy, Tuscany, Liguria, Umbria, all these other places, and they use the oil from Puglia to add heft, to add weight, to add body to all the other olive oils. Our olive oil here, friends of ours have had bottles of our olive oil that they forgot about in their cupboard. The friends of ours would tell us that lived in Asbury Park that they were at the house one day and they were making salad and they were out of olive oil, and suddenly someone opened up a cabinet and there was a bottle of our olive oil in there from 5 years earlier. They opened it up, they poured it on, and it was still spectacular. Whereas most of the northern oils, maybe they'll last a year because they're much thinner.
Yeah. And in the southern has that, I mean, I think because of it's stronger and it has we'll get into the what do we call it? We've trademarked it. Well, our oil is the one with the Puglia pinch.
Right. That's that pungent thing that Stephen was talking about earlier. And that pungent, that bite in the back of your throat is what tells you that the anti-inflammatories are working.
Yes.
You know, it's filled with polyphenols and these anti-inflammatories that should give you a slight pinch in the back of your throat. It'll make you cough sometimes, But you know, most people just aren't used to that because you know they'll buy olive oil or extra virgin olive oil from some big industrial company that has been processed and filtered and refiltered. Ours is not filtered at all. So sometimes at the bottom of the bottle those of you who buy our 3-liter tins, you'll find sediment, you know, when you get to the bottom of the container, the bottle of the tin. But all that is the pulp that has settled at the bottom of it because we don't filter the oil. We think it should be pure and straight from the mill.
I mean, we've done tastings before when in the States, and you know, we've put out the olive oil and somebody will try it and like, oh no, your oil's gone rancid, it's bad.
Right.
And it's like, no, it's supposed to have a strong taste. It's supposed to, it actually makes you cough in
right.
the back of your throat.
It does. It's I think that bite is the same bite you get from either acetaminophen or Tylenol.
It's the Tylenol one.
It's Tylenol, yeah.
I'm trying to look it up. I have my notes on here but I can't find it.
Steven's a nerd.
I am a nerd. But this is the book I'm going to talk about a million times, and hopefully we can get him on the show. But Extra Virginity, The Sublime and Scandalous World of Olive Oil. And we'll get into the scandal part probably in another episode because it's an uphill battle for us, you know, especially small producers dealing with these.
As a matter of fact, I won't name names yet.
Yes, but don't. No,
I won't. Yeah. But there is a very large producer who is blocking us from getting a trademark for Villa Capelli, and they are one of the largest producers and sellers of olive oil in the world. Even though, if you read the label carefully. You know, most consumers, you know, we don't pay that close attention to labels. Some people do, but, you know, when you see a label that says imported from Italy, you assume it's Italian olive oil. Well, it's not, because it's imported from Italy, but it doesn't mean that it was grown there or made there or, you know, it was just bottled there and shipped off from Italy. So you really got to be careful. And a lot of times when you look at labels, you know, the Italian government allows bottlers in Italy to put a label on extra virgin olive oil that says 100% Italian extra virgin olive oil. And then at the bottom of that label on the front, you'll see in small print, see the back label for countries of origin. So the Italian government says that as long as it's bottled in Italy, it can be called Italian, which is so wrong because it's destroying small farmers like us. So, you know, then you read the back label and it says, you know, the oil in this bottle comes from Tunisia or Israel or, you know, Morocco, other countries.
Italy is actually one of the world's largest importers of olive oil.
Right, importer, not exporter, importer. It might also be the largest exporter but
probably,
it's the largest
yeah.
importer. So they bring in oil from all over the world, wherever they can, the Mediterranean, and then they bottle it in Italy and call it Italian olive oil, which is not, because, you know, just because it's made here.
I'll read you some quotes from Tom Mueller just because I love this book. It's great. It's just full of great stuff. But phrases like packed in Italy or bottled in Italy do not mean that an oil was made in Italy. Don't be taken in by Italian flags or scenes of the Tuscan countryside on the packaging. Some of the oil imported into Italy is consumed by Italians, but much of it is blended, packed, and re-exported. Generally speaking, avoid oils whose precise point of production, a specific mill, is not specified on the label.
Right. As a matter of fact, Olive Oil Times, which Stephen mentioned earlier, I think a week ago, 2 weeks ago, had an article in there that said that the state of California is suing this big Spanish conglomerate called Deoleo, which owns brands like Filippo Berio, Bertolli, and others. For that exact purpose, they're saying that it's false advertising.
False advertising about Italy, but it's also false advertising about being extra virgin.
That's what I was getting.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So it's the state of California who also is ramping up their olive oil production, who is saying, you know, this isn't right because you are saying on your label one that it's extra virgin, when in essence, if you really analyze that oil, it is not extra virgin, and two that it's Italian. Where it's not.
Yeah, and we've done, we love to do tastings for guests to like kind of show them the difference. The first one we did for guests, maybe I'm spoiled and we only use our oil here, obviously, and I've had vats of it, so I basically bathe in it and we cook everything in it. But it was the first time we'd ever bought I guess I can say the name, right? And I was going to another brand. And we put it side by side. I mean, the difference in everything, in color, aroma, in taste especially. I mean, the other brand had no taste. It was a lubricant.
Oh, the other thing you have to be careful of, you know, one of the other things that the media has sort of instructed us to look for is, you know, the color of the oil. That
exactly.
You should look for green oil. Well, guess what? No. The big producers have figured out a way to screw you on that one, too. The green color you see in most industrial olive oils, big company olive oils, is chlorophyll. They add chlorophyll. So, one, they're pulling a fast one on you. And two, according to the standards, the international standards of extra virgin olive oil, you are not allowed to tamper with that oil in any manner, shape, or form. So by adding even chlorophyll to it, you have tampered with it.
And you're talking to two ad guys here who understand this, but they have also developed marketing terms that make it sound good to the consumers. And this is not for extra virgin. This is just for olive oil. They'll call it pure olive oil or light olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
Light making people think, oh, it has less calories. Fat for fat is fat. It has no, the calorie difference is nothing. The light means it's not extra virgin. It means it's been, as Paul said, done through that horrible chemical process. And
yeah, it's over-processed.
It's light meaning it has no freaking
They took all the good stuff
out of it. Yeah. all the light is they eliminate all the antioxidants, all the polyphenols, everything.
Yeah. You know, speaking of fat, a good friend of ours that, you know, we... that helps us actually sell our oil as well. Vinny Todorich.
Hopefully he'll get on the show one day.
Yeah, America's Angriest Trainer. He actually drinks olive oil for his energy supplement when he's riding his bicycle, you know, 100 miles, whatever he rides it. Instead of taking, you know, granola bars or any of that other stuff that has all this other sugar and everything else, because he believes in the fact that fat is energy, which then you can burn off. So olive oil is probably one of the best fats that you can ingest.
It's great. No, it's amazing. And I subscribe to that diet, and we'll probably get into that at some point. So we're at 32 minutes. Do you think that's the show?
I think that's the show.
All right. So hopefully we covered the top line. Hopefully gave you guys a little bit of an insight into how we produce extra virgin and what extra virgin should be.
And you know, if you have any questions or comments or whatever, you know, you can email us just info@villacapelli.com. Info, you know how to spell that. At is just a symbol. VillaCapelli.com. Yeah. info@villacapelli.com, and we'll be more than happy to answer any questions you might have.
Exactly. And I will have all these resources in the show notes when we put it up at livingvillacapelli.com. And I think that's it. Okay.
A presto. We'll see you on the podcast soon. Ciao.
A presto. Ciao.